So you go along to the gym and the fitness instructor puts you through the various machines and things and says, well, you know, actually, you could be so much fitter than you are, you know, and that you could feel so much better if you do these exercises, if you do this program that I've got for you. Perhaps it's a little bit similar for us in church, a little bit similar to that. We can settle for just coming along to church on a Sunday, enjoying being part of what's going on, you know, chatting with friends, listening to some teaching, and that's all really great stuff. But we've also got the possibility to choose to strengthen our spiritual muscles. We've got the choice, if we want to take it, to grow stronger in our faith. Because we want to take Jesus' words seriously when he says that we're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And we know that's God calling us to be a witness, like here in church, in Shiloh. We've got parts to play, we've got ways we can minister. That's like our Jerusalem, so to speak. But we've also got a part to play in Judea. We've got a part to play in our families, with our friends, in our workplace, in our island. And then also to the ends of the earth. God calls us to be a witness to the ends of the earth as well. And if we do want to take this calling seriously, if we are God's representatives, then what does this look like for us as a community of believers? That's what we're going to have a little look at as we look at this passage. And one of the things that Paul highlights and that comes through really, really clearly in this passage is that one of the key things will be unity. Now, we all know that unity doesn't just happen. It's something that we need to work at. Often, it's differences between people that lead to division. We see that all the time, don't we? In the newspapers, in politics, in watching things on TV. It's often the differences between people that cause a divide. But, you know, this shouldn't be true in the church. Because if we think about it, we're probably one of the most diverse groups of people in the world. I can't really think of any other example where you would have a more diverse group of people coming together to be part of a community. So how do we stay united when we are so diverse? When we have such different tastes, different outlooks on life, different perspectives on different things? Well, this passage really helps us because it shows us that to avoid this division, to avoid those sort of potholes in the road, because we are all journeying together, aren't we? And to avoid those potholes that would divide us, we need to remember, most of all, what it is that unites us. And Paul gives us a really helpful list in this passage of those things that do unite us. Okay, it's all the ones. There's a whole list of ones. First of all, he says it's oneness of body. And that's the church, isn't it? We're in this together. We're one body together. Whether we're a leg, whether we're an eye, an elbow, whatever we may be, we're one body. We have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's in work in each and every one of us. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to build that community and to build fellowship. And then Paul says we have one hope. We all have one hope of the same future. So although our journeys of faith might take us in different directions and our roads might cross sometimes and go different ways, we're all journeying ultimately to the same end goal. We have one hope and we have one Lord and faith. So we serve one Jesus and our faith is our commitment to him, and that joins us together. We have one baptism, one God who is our Father. We all have the same Heavenly Father. And in verse 6 it says that God is overall. So that's God's transcendence. He's overall. He's all-powerful. He's mighty. He is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. But it also says that he is through all and in all, in each and every one of us. And that's his immanence. His active presence in this world and in our lives. In verse 6 in the message, it reads, "Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness." Isn't that lovely? I really love the way that is written. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. It's true for us all. So his transcendence, his might and his power assures us that we have that power, that basis for our confidence in God. But it's not only that God is all powerful, because his immanence, the fact that he works in us and he works through us, that assures us that he is there to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to come alongside us. I don't think there could be any firmer foundation for us on which to build unity. We don't need to build unity on uniformity. It doesn't matter that we're not all the same. It's actually really great that we're not all the same. We don't have to be uniform. What we build our basis of unity on is our oneness that is in God, our oneness that comes through Jesus, and that is expressed through our diversity. I think we all know that none of us are perfect, are we? I know that for myself. None of us are perfect. And we will always find faults and see faults in one another. But we always have a choice. We can choose whether we dwell on those things that annoy us a bit or we don't agree with about other people. Or instead, we can choose that we will pray for those people, actually that we will draw alongside those people and get to know them better and actually find that we really like them and that we want to be friends with them. But I think something that this passage highlights, and I think something that God would want us to guard our hearts for, and it's so easy, is that we don't allow hurts and disappointments and cynicism to drive us from church. And it's really easy to say that. It's really easy to say that. But we all get hurt sometimes. We all can be on the receiving end of something that hurts or be disappointed for some reason in people or in church life. And yet, I love that image of a campfire, and I think it's a really helpful one. With a campfire, the place to be in the fire is where the heat and the warmth is, isn't it? But for the sticks that fall out of the campfire, it's really easy. Those sticks very quickly become cold and lifeless. And you know, God really wants us to draw near to him, and we can do that through being part of his community and experiencing that warmth and that fire that comes from Jesus. You know, he doesn't want us to do this journey of faith alone, because it can be very tough and it can be very hard at times. And we all experience really hard times in life. Each and every one of us here will have gone through things that are difficult and might still be going through things that are hard. And God intends us to be supported and loved by his community, by his people. God created church to be a place of joy as well, just when we were thinking about Festival of Fun earlier. Okay, something we can all get involved with. Church is designed to be a place of joy, a place where we can celebrate together. But it would be really hard if we had to do all of that just in our own strength, because we know, as I said, in our own strength, we're not perfect, we'll mess up, we'll say things that upset other people, we won't get it right all the time, we'll get cross, we'll get angry at times, we'll get bothered by things. And so God, in his amazing wisdom, has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us. And the Holy Spirit will help to build unity, but we also have to play our part. And we play our part by focusing on God and not on ourselves. You know, the amazing thing is that each and every one of us here this morning has unique gifts that nobody else has. Now, we might say that there might be several people here who have the gift of hospitality, to say, for example. But God will use each of those people with that gift of hospitality in different ways. There will be different people that God will ask you to show hospitality to. Somebody might be really good at baking cakes, somebody else might be really good at inviting people round to their home and opening their home. The gift will show itself in different ways. And that's why we are all really unique and we all have a part to play. You know, Olympic swimmer doesn't spend hours and hours and days and weeks and months just working their legs, do they? They don't go in the gym and just do the machinery that gets their legs really strong. Because if they had really, really strong legs, but they hadn't done any exercising on their arms or they hadn't done anything to stay healthy, then they're not going to be in a competitive place when it comes to, you know, racing in the Olympics. Everything has to be exercised and healthy in order for the swimmer to perform to their best ability. And it's the same with us. Each and every one of us here, every one of us has a part to play. And every one of us, as we play that part, and I think this is so amazing, we contribute to the health and well-being of our body, of our family here in church. Because God has given us a really amazing responsibility. And we read about the responsibility that we have in Matthew 28. Jesus says to us that we are to make disciples of every nation. Now, that task is going to involve all the different gifts that Paul mentions in this passage and more besides. And if we had to fulfill that command as individuals, it would be a pretty impossible task. You know, we might as well give up without trying. But it's not the case. God calls us to be members of his body. So together, we can fully obey God in a way that will be much more effective than any of us could do on our own. As human beings, we often have a tendency to overestimate what we can achieve as individuals. I know it. I do it all the time with my timekeeping. I always overestimate how much things I can manage to fit in to a day. And as groups, we often underestimate just how much we can achieve when we work together. And God gives us this picture in these verses of exactly what the fullness of Christ looks like. And it looks like everybody working together to achieve this. If we think about back to the elephants in the clip there, it was teamwork that enabled them to rescue the baby calf. And you know, the thing that touched me most, I think, which some of you might have noticed, it was the elephant in the background that was pacing backwards and forwards. He couldn't get through the gate, but he was just as concerned about what was going on with the little baby calf in the pool. You know, he was there willing them on. He wanted to see a positive outcome, just the same. You know, as a personal testimony, I know that I stand here today as a direct result of many people who are here in this room right now exercising their spiritual gifts. I know that when my parents started exploring faith, they were welcomed into the church family. And as children, when we came into that, not having had a church sort of background previously, we were excited to be part of something that was really warm and really fun, and we felt part of. And people here welcomed us as a family. And as I grew up here at Shiloh, there were people who taught me in Sunday school. There were people who prayed for me. There were people here who led me to Jesus and who continued to pray for me through my teens. There were people here who showed us hospitality as teenagers. There were people here who let me stand up and practice speaking in church and exploring my gifts and making many mistakes along the way. But I was given the freedom and the encouragement to do that. And then as we got married and went away to Bible college, there were people who supported us financially, who had a gift of giving and supported us in that. And then as my husband and I went to Nicaragua with our little daughter, people who prayed for us, who loved us through that, who supported us again. And when we came back earlier than we had anticipated coming back, and so we had to deal with all the emotions that went with that, the disappointments and things. There were people who counseled us. There were people who prayed for us. There were people who picked us back up again. And that is everybody here, all those people, and there's probably, it's tens and tens and tens of people who have contributed to my faith journey. And we all have that part to play. And I find that incredibly encouraging. And it's something that God encourages us to keep on doing, both for people who are here in the church, but also for people as they come in, that they would have that testimony too. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus promises power through the Holy Spirit. So it's not something we do in our own strength. We have this amazing, amazing power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And it's the same power that's there for us, each and every one of us, all the time, at all times. So when you go, and to think about exercising again, when you go to the gym and exercise, or when you get on your bike, or when you do some heavy lifting or something, you feel your muscles working. You feel that you're exerting yourself, that you're expending energy. You can feel the strength that you have. When you're sat watching television and you've got your feet up and you're sort of vegging out and you're not doing anything at all other than pressing the remote control, you don't really feel like you have physical strength at that point because you're not exercising it. But actually, you have exactly the same physical strength in your body as you do if you're, you know, taking part in a triathlon or something. We've all been given gifts, but we need to exercise them. And it's the Holy Spirit that's the source of the power that enables us to do that, who lives in us, who changes us. You know, we read in the Bible the story about when God visited Moses in fire in the burning bush. And then it was as if that fire went from God into Moses' heart. That fire of God was in his heart. And he went out and he did the task that God asked him to do. I was thinking about this and thinking what Moses might have been tempted to do was spend the rest of his life in the desert running up to various bushes, hoping to have that experience again. You know, but he didn't do that. He had the experience, he knew God had spoken to him, he knew he had God's power, and he went out and did the task that God asked him to do. You know, the same thing happened with Peter. Peter was completely changed by the fire of God. It was God's power through the Holy Spirit that gave him boldness when previously he had been really afraid. And Peter, just the same, might have spent the rest of his Christian days looking for a repeat experience of what happened there. But he didn't. He didn't just wait and look for the experience. He knew he had received God's power and he went out and he did what God asked him to do. You know, God has promised us the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We don't really need to wait for anything else. We just need to go. You know, it was Gandhi who said, be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see in the world. I love that quote. But, you know, I think it's God's power in us that enables us to do just that. We're not on our own. We have the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to be the change we want to see. So Paul is saying here that unity is one of the key elements for a healthy church. And one of the indicators that a church is healthy is where the focus of that church will be. So Paul says in verses 13 and 15, he highlights that Christ is to be our focus. He is the head of the church, and our focus is on him as we grow through our knowledge of Christ. So our focus needs to be on Jesus rather than on church. Because the problem is, if we focus just on church, we become more consumed with things like how many people are coming through the door or the maintenance that needs to happen on the building, and we slip into a kind of survival mode. But what Paul is saying is that a willingness to serve will be a great indicator of Jesus being the focus of our church. And it will be manifest in various ways, in many, many ways. Things like giving a warm smile and warm welcome to people who come in from outside. It will be shown in a willingness to help out in tangible ways, just like we've been saying with Festival of Fun, the help that's needed. It's shown in that willingness to help out, even if sometimes it's a little bit inconvenient for us. It shows in the support that we give to one another, how we love one another, how we care for one another, even if we're really different and diverse. So we serve out of a heart for Jesus. We serve out of a desire and a care for those who are lost to know Jesus. a heart for people who don't know yet just how much Jesus loves them. And you know, we can't be indifferent about this. I've been really challenged just looking at this passage again about how passionate I am. How does my heart burn for my friends to know the love of God? You know, now is the time for people to know and to hear. Have we got that sense of urgency in our hearts? A great example of this is in Luke 5, and we read that story about the friends, I think four friends, and they had another friend who was paralyzed, who couldn't walk. And they heard that Jesus was in the town, and they wanted to get their friend to see Jesus because they knew that Jesus could heal their friend. And so they take their friend on the stretcher to the house where Jesus is meeting and where there's lots and lots of people wanting to see Jesus, and they can't get through the door. And they want their friend to be seen by Jesus because they know that Jesus can heal their friend, can touch his life. And what do they do? Do they give up? Do they say, oh, it's too packed, it's too crowded, you know, oh dear, let's go home? That's not what they do at all. We read what they do is that they go up on the roof and then they make a hole in the roof. They take the tiles off the roof and they lower their friend, and they say they lower him right in front of Jesus' feet. Isn't that, it's quite an incredible thing, isn't it? You just imagine the scene, sort of bricks and dust and whatnot falling on people's heads, and then this person being lowered on ropes down through the roof. They wanted to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And they didn't give up. They climbed up on the roof and they made a hole. And they lowered their friend down right in front of Jesus. I wonder if today we need to take the roof off of our thinking. I wonder if we need to begin to think of innovative and creative ways that we can tell people about Jesus. You know, we just need to sort of bring people to Jesus. We need to create those opportunities because Jesus does the rest. It's Jesus who transforms lives. We just need to have that big vision, that vision that says, God, would you not only just revive us, would you not only just revive our hearts, but would you revive the whole earth? Would you revive Guernsey? Would you revive the world in which we live? You know, and if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and this cause that he's given us to make disciples, then the most incredible thing is that a healthy church community springs up out of that. It's a natural byproduct. And you know, sometimes we maybe sort of try to do it the other way round, or we just sort of slip into doing it the other way round. And if we focus most of all on community, and by that I mean like our church community, not the local community outside, but on ourselves, then we run the risk of becoming a bit like a club, any other club or organisation. We run the risk of becoming exclusive to people who want to come in from outside. And it's a difficult tension, it's a difficult thing for us to perhaps grapple with. And the early church had exactly the same issue, because they had this tension between fellowshipping together and being community and looking after one another, but also about making disciples and about being out there and drawing people in. The Bible tells us that the early church believers shared everything in common. They had a wonderful, wonderful example of what fellowship is all about. They shared everything in common, but also their church was being added to day by day. It was expanding, and at the same time it was consolidating. Okay, it was growing, but also somehow it was unifying. And that's the tension that we kind of live with, and we ask God to help us to know how to balance that. And Jesus' very first words to his disciples were, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." So in a sense, the first words that Jesus gave to his disciples, therefore I guess something that was so important to Jesus, it was about the cause that he was giving to them, before an offer of community to them. But the most incredible thing was that as they came to the cause and they left their boat and they said, yes, we want to be fishers of men. Yes, we sign up to your cause, Jesus. We're going with this 100%. They found a community like nothing they ever knew could ever exist. The disciples were such an incredibly close community of believers who shared their life and their faith journey in the most amazing ways. You know, that is what really excites me about church. That is the power of church. It's unique, it's amazing, it's wonderful. How can this even be possible that we share this amazing fellowship together? It's because we commit ourselves to Jesus' cause. We have the power and the presence of God living and working in us, creating a community among us. Okay, so what is the final element then that Paul talks about in this passage that creates a healthy church? Well, Paul speaks about the believers here growing in spiritual maturity. How do we grow up in Christ? How do we do that? Well, the answer is that Christ forms us into a body. Okay, we are a body of believers, into a group of individuals who are united in our purpose and in our love for one another and for God. That means that if somebody stumbles, if an individual struggles or stumbles, that there are people there, the rest of the group is there to pick him or her up and to help him or her in their walk with God again. Not to condemn, but to encourage. Just like those elephants in that film, how they encouraged one another and supported one another. And as part of Christ's body, I need to ask myself this morning, you know, am I reflecting part of Christ's character? Am I carrying out that unique role that God has given to me to carry out? Because we each have a unique role to play. Whatever our gifts, whatever our age, whatever our background, whatever our circumstances, God has given us each a role to play. And so Paul finishes the passage with this familiar imagery for us, one of being a body. It's the most lovely imagery. It means that the church isn't just about individual faith. Yes, salvation is personal, but living out our Christian faith is all about living in community, sharing our lives together. It's where we get encouraged by one another's testimonies, isn't it? It's where we're knit together. So true faith doesn't end up as an individual thing. It lives in a community where we're responsible to and also for one another, where we care for one another. It's where we learn to live this life of faith together. Just as I conclude, this last verse 16, can I just have the picture up, the caterpillar on the screen, please? Some of you might know this book. This was one of my favourite books and one of the books I read to my children, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Verse 16 in this passage made me think about the very hungry caterpillar. If you don't know the story, it's about this little, very tiny caterpillar who sets about eating his way through a lot of food. On the Monday, he eats one apple. I think on the Tuesday, he eats two plums. The Wednesday, he eats three oranges. And it goes on and on like this till the Saturday. I think he eats a cake, a salami sausage, a slice of cheese, I can't remember what else. So some people might know what else he eats. He eats a lot of food on the Saturday, okay? And as he eats more and more food, he no longer is a tiny caterpillar. He's actually then eventually a really fat caterpillar. And then after a whole week of eating his way through lots of food like this, he begins work and he works hard and he spins a cocoon. And on the following Sunday, he transforms into a butterfly. There was a purpose to all that eating, all that guzzling that he did. There was a purpose to it. You know, what if that caterpillar in the Very Hungry Caterpillar story hadn't made the cocoon and transformed into a butterfly? I think it had to be perhaps renamed the Very Greedy Caterpillar, and eventually it would be the Very Sick Caterpillar, wouldn't it? Okay, so all that work that he did had a purpose. It was to transform into what he was supposed to be. I think spiritual maturity perhaps is a little bit like that. You know, we grow and we build in love in order to do the work that God calls us to do, in order to fulfill the amazing purpose that he has for each and every one of us in our lives. Just as we're finishing, you know, I believe that God really wants us to be hungry for Jesus, to have a passion for Jesus that propels us into action, to enjoy the spiritual food that God gives us. And that is such a lovely blessing, to have God's word, to have fellowship, to have people we can go and discuss our faith with, to hear things that edify us, that build us up. Those things are fantastic things. But God wants us just to be more than just consumers of his word. He wants us to use his word as fuel for the purposes that he has called us to, that we will be transformed just like the caterpillar into that butterfly. He did that eating in order to be transformed and to fulfill the purpose for which he was created. And God wants us to do the same thing. In a minute, I'm just going to play a song. It's a song by a band called The Wren Collective. You might have heard them. They're a Christian band. It's called No Outsiders. And while we play this song, hopefully, sorry, I've given the tech team a bit of a challenge this morning, but hopefully there's just going to be a visual image on the screen of a campfire. I said before, I really love that image, and the Wren Collective use that image in a lot of their songs. And I just want us this morning, just in for a few minutes, just as if it's almost to come around the campfire. This morning, you might feel like a branch that has fallen out of the fire, and you might feel that you are struggling, that things are difficult at this the moment. And maybe you have hurt in your life. You know, and I believe God just wants to minister to you this morning with his warmth, with his love, and just to draw you back into the warmth of his love, and for you to know that he is there with you. Perhaps God this morning is challenging you from this passage around unity. Like we prayed in the Lord's Prayer this morning, perhaps there's people that we really struggle with, and God just wants us to spend a few moments asking him to help us with those things. But perhaps this morning God is just stirring your heart, and I would just say use these next few minutes just to allow him to inspire you to be innovative and creative in thinking about how as a church we can be that place that is that brings warmth, that brings light, that brings joy to people who don't yet know Jesus.